would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. The words that we speak are very, very important. We're going to be studying this week at our week of worship and recreation, among other things. We're going to be studying about the importance of always speaking the truth. The subject that we're going to be studying this week is truth. We need to know what the truth is. We need to speak the truth. We need to believe the truth. We need to walk in the truth. We need to live the truth. But the main thought that's on my heart tonight is about our words and the words that we say, but also the fact that it is very important that the works that go on in our lives, that those works harmonize with our words. I think there are many times that our words say one thing and our works sometimes say something different. You know, my daddy used to say that he would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day. And I think that's very important for us to remember. It is important, the words that we say. I'm not taking away from the fact that the words that come out of our mouth are important. You need to be very careful about the words that come out of your mouth. The Word of God teaches us that we're going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouths. So I am not saying that it doesn't matter what you say, because what you say is very important. David made this statement. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." So he knew that the words that we speak, those words are very important. And yet I think that sometimes in Christianity today, sometimes we take scriptures that will talk about confessing with our mouth. Whosoever believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth shall be what? Shall be saved. And I think that that's about as far as some people's religion goes, is they confess with their mouth and they believe in their heart, but their words are much different than what their actions show. Sometimes you'll read obituaries and you'll read this person was saved and was a member of the church and professed Christ to be their Lord. And yet you look at the actions of those individuals' lives, sometimes you see something completely different. And so it is that I want to exhort all of us tonight that we be careful about the words that we say, that we speak words that we should speak, but that we also be very careful that the works of our lives harmonize with the words that we say. I want to ask you tonight to look at Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, and beginning in verse 28. The Word of God says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go,'" what's the next word there? "Go work. Go work today in my vineyard." And brethren, this is a parable. It's about a man that had two sons, and he tells them both to go work. And it's about how our Heavenly Father, we're children of God, and our Father has sent us all as His people. He has sent us all out to do good works. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has made us and equipped us with such things that we need to be able to perform good works. And so he said, this father said to his son, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not." What did his word say? "I will not go work in the vineyard. I will not." But afterward he repented and went. Now, which is more important? The words that you say or the things that you do? The actions, the works. The works are more important than the words. Both are important. You'll see this as we go along tonight, Lord willing. Verse 30 says, and he came to the second, that is the second son, and said likewise, that is, he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He said likewise to that second son, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Now, the second son said, I'm going to go work, but he didn't do what his father told him to do. Have you ever seen people that are always volunteering and saying, I'll do this, but if you watch, you almost can mark it down, that will never get done. Why? Because the things that they say with their mouth, they mean very little to them, and they will promise you anything, and they'll say that they'll do anything, but they very seldom carry out what they say that they're going to do. Now, the words that we say ought to harmonize with the works of our lives. You remember how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said that this people, speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees, people that were supposed to be religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but what? But their heart is far from me. Brethren, it's very easy to have lip service of religion. It's easy to have words of religion. It's easy to get up and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Those are words that people often say, but it's more important, brethren, that you not just talk about your love for God, but that you show that love for God. It's important that the words of your mouth be pleasing to God, but it is also more important that your works be pleasing to God. And I'll show you that as we go along, that the works are actually more important than the words. We need to have both, but the works are extremely important. Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 7 and 21. He says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, do they call him Lord? Do they acknowledge he is the Lord? Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says, you can say Lord all you want to. Those 10 virgins that Jesus tells us about that were about to enter into the kingdom of heaven, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 foolish virgins, they didn't have the works that they needed. Did they say, Lord, Lord, open to us, let us in, Lord? Did they want in? But would Jesus let them in? Even though he called them Lord, they called him Lord, he wouldn't let them in. Why? Because their works were not pleasing to God. And all of us, I believe that all of us need to pray, God help me. You know, I mentioned that David prayed, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We ought to pray that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. But we need to also say, Lord, not just the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, but let the actions of my life, let the works in my life, let them prove that I really believe that you are my Lord and that I really do love you with all of my heart. There are many people who profess religion and talk about their love for God. And I want you to notice what the book of Titus says. Turn in your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 1. Because this is one of the passages of Scripture that talks about that we profess things with our mouth, but then we turn right around and by our works, though our words are right, the works are not pleasing to God. Have you ever seen anybody that was saying words and they just seemed hollow words and empty words? That the words that were being said, they seemed like they were almost fake all the way. And you look at their actions and you see and you recognize what's going on in his life is completely different than the words that are coming out of his mouth. We call that what would be a word that you would say when someone's works don't harmonize with their words, we would call that person, or we would be called a what? We'd be called a hypocrite. A hypocrite. Look now at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. The Word of God says about certain individuals, the Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God. Now, are there many people that say that they know God? I have many people that tell me, I know God, I love God, and I serve God just as much as you or any other Christian. I know that I don't go to church. I know that I don't live the way the Bible says to live, but I know God and I love God. And brethren, the Word of God says, if a man says that he knows God, if a man says that he knows God, but he's not keeping his commandments, the man is a liar. So a person can say, I know God. A person can say, I love God. But in his works, he would deny what he said with his mouth. And that's the kind of individuals that Paul is writing about here in Titus 1 and verse 16. When he says, they profess that they know God. The words are right, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work, they're reprobate. That is, they don't have anything to do with good works. Is their mouth saying the right thing? Are they professing that they love God and that they know God? The words are right, but the works are not in harmony with the words. Now, the rest of this book concentrates on works. If you come on down in the book of Titus, as it talks about these individuals that with their mouth they profess that they know God, but unto every good work they're reprobate to those things, I want you to notice what Titus chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I just want you to see that the Word of God is emphasizing the importance of works and emphasizing and teaching that our works are more important than the words that we say. Look at Titus chapter 2, Titus 2, verses 6 and 7. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, Timothy, you tell the young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of what? A pattern of good works. Let me pause here and say that there are many works that people might think these are good works. But I want you to know that every good work that God would have you to do is described in the Word of God. All Scripture. Are we sometimes doing a lot of works that are not really good works in the sight of God? They may look like good works to men, but they're not pleasing to God. You remember how the Scripture says in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. If you want to know what good works are, where are you going to find those good works? If you want to know how to do good works, if you want to know what works are good in the sight of God, the only place you can go to is in the Word of God, because that is the place the Scriptures describe and define what are really good works in the sight of God. So we need to be a pattern of good works. It comes on down in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Look at this now. In Titus 2:14, the Scripture says that God gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Zealous of good works. Now, in talking all about these good works, where do people sometimes get on the wrong track when you're talking about all these good works? It is very easy for people to begin to believe as they read the Word of God and they read about all these good works that we're to be doing. There are many people that then conclude that unless you're doing those good works, you're not going to go to heaven when you die. That you going to heaven when you die is based on you doing good works. And so it is in the midst of this one little book of the Bible that mentions good works more than any other book of the Bible, and I'll show you some more here, but in the midst of all this emphasis on good works, and not just having the right words, but really having good works in your life, in the midst of all of that, guess what he emphasizes? Look at Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Well, let me read Titus 3:1. Titus 3:1 says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Is he still talking about the importance of good works? But then when he comes down in chapter 3, listen to verse 5, 4 and 5. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness," or rather, not by works of righteousness which we have done, "but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Now, what does He make it clear in verse 5? He says, you need to do these good works. That's emphasized in chapters 1, 2, and 3. The emphasis, the primary teaching, the primary lesson is, do good works. It is important to do good works. And yet in the midst of all these scriptures about maintaining good works and being a pattern of good works and being zealous of good works, he says, now remember, you're not saved by your good works. Your eternal salvation is not based on your good works. Your salvation, eternal salvation, is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy and grace where He has saved us. Now look at one other verse in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. The Word of God says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God..." Is it important to believe in God and confess God? Yes, it is. But he says, "Now I want you to affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." Maintain good works. Be zealous of good works. Always, as God's people, we need to be a pattern of good works. What does James say about a person that talks about his belief in God and his faith in God? He says, faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. So you can confess with your mouth and you can believe in your heart. Brethren, as the people of God, we need to understand that is not all that's necessary in order to please God with our lives. It is important that we maintain and be zealous of good works. The Apostle Paul, after he says, or rather James, after he says, faith without works is dead, he says, show me thy faith. Well, let me read the words there. He says, thou sayest, this is James chapter 2, let me read verses 17 and 18. Listen to James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. We're talking about our words are important, but it's also important that our works follow and harmonize with the words of our mouth. That the words of our mouth, the Bible says that we're not to love in word or in tongue, but we're to love in deed and in truth. That is, we're to carry out and show and prove our love. That's true of whether you're talking about love for God or love for your brothers and sisters in Christ or love for your family. Don't just say that you love them. Show that you love them. And James chapter 2, listen please to verses 17 and 18. James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now verse 18, James 2 verse 18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What's Paul saying there, James saying? He's saying you can talk about your faith in God all you want to. And you can talk about how strong your faith is, and you can talk about how much you love God. And he says, you talk about your faith without your works, but I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And so it is that I believe that our works are actually more important than the words that we say. Am I saying words are not important? I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying words without works are empty and vain and dead and of no value whatsoever. You remember in Revelation chapter 3 in one of the churches, the Word of God says that God said to the church at Laodicea, He says, "Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou," what? Thou sayest that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What was it that caused them to be wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? It was the fact that their words were supposedly pleasing to God, but their works were not what they ought to be. They said that they were rich and increased with good and had need of nothing, but their works denied that. Can you think of anybody in the Bible, in closing, can you think of anybody in the Bible that when Jesus began to speak to them, can you think of anybody that responded more by their works than they did by their words? Or can you think of anybody that their words and their works harmonized as they obeyed God or obeyed Jesus Christ? Can you think of anybody that their words and their works pleased Jesus Christ? Brother Philip? You look like you had somebody. All right. Brother Wendell?
The centurion that sent someone to Jesus to
ask
him to heal
the son? Yes, that centurion, his words and his works, they proved. Jesus said about that centurion that he had not seen a man with that great faith, not a single Jew with as much faith as that man. That man's faith and his works harmonized. He proved his love for Jesus and his confidence in Jesus Christ. Who's somebody else that you can think of that their words, Brother Jerry, their words and their works followed? Yes, the five and the two talent servants, those two servants are individuals that when the Lord gave them things, He gave them their talents, they went out and they used their talents, and they loved their Lord, and they produced more talents. They worked. Their work proved their love for their master. But the Word of God is full of people, and you go home and study it and think about it. You remember when Jesus began to call the apostles? You remember when He began to call the apostles and called them Peter and Andrew and James and John? And all those men were busy, and they were doing other kind of work. But when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," you know that in each of those instances, though they were working in one area of their lives, they left that work. They immediately, the Scripture says, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. I hope, brethren, that God will help us to think about in our lives which one stands out the most in my life. Is it my words or is it my works? Now, I'm not saying just about God, but I'm saying about your family. I'm sure if I were to ask, is there anybody here that really, really loves your children? If I were to say, everybody here that really loves your children, stand up. I think everybody here that has children would stand up and say, I love my children. But my question is, are you showing your children? Are you making the sacrifices? Are you giving the training? Are you working and proving how much you love those children? You say you love your wife. I say that I love my wife. But am I showing her? Are the works in my life harmonizing with my words? My love for the brethren, my love for Jesus, my love for God, my love for the church, my love for the Word of God, everything that we say needs to be backed up. The words that we say need to be backed up by the works that we carry out in our lives. May God help us that the words and works in our lives would be in perfect harmony to the honor and glory of God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.